to the lesson this morning. We took a little more time with prayer requests and some other discussions. Last week, we talked through the back side of your outline that has the blanks, where it says Christian fellowship involves some commonalities. And I'd just like to make one, just emphasize something that I said last week and reemphasize it. One of the things that sometimes happens when we have standards concerning who we will fellowship with and so on, and we're going to discuss that, is that we will not be friends with people who do not have these commonalities. But I want to just remind you, and I know that you know this, but Jesus is the friend of sinners. And so while we need commonalities to really have Christian fellowship, we want to avoid being snobbish toward others who don't see things just the way we do or who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so I just wanted to emphasize that. We mentioned seven things that we have in common with those with whom we fellowship. And now we turn to the other side of that sheet and we look at the outline, and we're going to share this and we'll fill some blanks in this morning concerning fellowship. We're going to go back to 1 John chapter 1. I'd like for you to follow along as I read down through that chapter. It's just 10 wonderful verses. And we'll quickly read that, and then we'll begin to work our way through this outline. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life," a reference to Christ. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us." There's the word fellowship. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And there at the end, I think anybody who indicates that they don't think they're a sinner, they have a real problem. But we're going to talk, first of all, about what is the basis of fellowship, and somewhat based on what we find here in 1 John, and then looking at some other verses as well. First of all, fellowship is conditional upon our walking in the light. That's right. Walking in the light. Now, we're not talking about physical light. We're talking about the light that we get from the Word of God. What did the psalmist write? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There is a great a cappella song entitled "Thy word is light," thinking back to East High School, and we sang that as one of our songs in a cappella choir, "Thy Word is Light." And the Word of God is light. We also know that Jesus is light. He was life, and he was the light of the world, according to the first chapter of the book of John. And so, first of all, we see that fellowship is conditional upon our not just having the light, but walking in the light. Verse 7, once again. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So to have genuine fellowship with another Christian, a person who has placed their faith in Christ, you and that person need to be walking in the light. So I'm based on this, I would say, we need to keep checking on ourselves. Make sure we're walking in the light. Make sure that God's Word is, we are allowing it to be the lamp to our feet and the light to our paths. And that we are, as Pastor says, running everything in our lives through the sieve of God's Word, so that and that we do, we're functioning in the light. It is not wrong for us to look at everything about our lives with prayerful consideration as to whether or not it fits into the principles of God's Word. And while there are some things that are not specifically mentioned in Scripture, there are basic principles of God's Word that are applicable to any area of our lives, any activity of our lives. The letter B under number one is this: sin breaks fellowship. And for this, we'll turn to Isaiah 59:2, which many of you don't need to do that, but let's just look at it with our eyes as well this morning. Isaiah 59, verse 2 reads this way: "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." And of course, this is a reference to God's relationship with His people, and it's a part of some instructions that were given through the prophet to the people of that day. But this clear statement: your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. And so we see that sin breaks fellowship. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25, another verse that basically says the same thing. Let's turn there, Jeremiah 5, 5, and take a look at that verse. Jeremiah 5, 5 reads this way: I looked right at it, said it once, and then changed it to 5. Verse 25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Sin breaks fellowship. And we could put that into a little more context and see that it's true. Sin breaks fellowship. And sin not only breaks our fellowship with God, but it breaks our fellowship with others. We may still be able to shake hands and say hi and smile, but it is very difficult for a believer to have genuine fellowship with other believers if he has known sin in his life and he's not dealing with it biblically and confessing it. And that brings us to the next thought under the letter B. Broken fellowship can be restored by repentance and confession. And let's go back to Isaiah and look at chapter 59 and verse 2. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 59:2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear," which we just read. I don't know why I included it twice, but I did. But then we go to 1 John, and we read in verses 7 and 9 of 1 John that, verse 9, actually, go there: "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Psalm 51, the entire chapter, of course, deals with David's dealing with his sin and how he confessed his sin and got right with the Lord. Let's take a look at Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, 12. Here, David has confessed his sin, if you read the entire thing, and you see in verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And so we see that confession of sin and repentance from sin and confession of sin restores fellowship. And I don't need to really teach that to you, but it's a practical thing. I think that as I know with me, I have to be really careful. I'm busy doing things. I'm listening to people. I'm talking to people. I'm interacting with people. And I'm going about the routines of life. And I think it's so easy for us, if we're not careful, we don't stop and ask the Lord to know us, know our thoughts, reveal to us things that we may not be aware of that need to be changed in our lives, some things that could be definitely sin in our lives, and we just are ignorant even of some of those sins. We're not asking the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and to get our sin right with the Lord. So I think while we're talking to a group of people here who've walked with the Lord, most of you, for many years, and I've been saved since I was 8 years old, that, you know, you can ho-hum along and you can become complacent about things in your life that need to be changed so that fellowship stays vibrant, so that we have good fellowship with the Lord. And I just would like to interject this. The best fellowship you can have with the Lord is fellowship that nobody knows about but you and Him. And the best prayers that you can pray are prayers that nobody knows about but you and Him. Elaine and I, in our devotions, I can't remember if it was last night or the night before, we read about the religious leaders of the Lord's day. And he said they like to pray long prayers in public. And he said they have their reward. They're doing it for the praise of men. And it says they think by their much speaking that they, And so the prayers that I think are the most important, and the dealing with sin that is most important, is that which we do on a very private, in a very private way in our relationship with God. And I don't think you have to have a literal closet to go to where you shut yourself in a little cubicle to pray. I think you can pray as in a closet anywhere, anytime, with anything going on. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if, when Don saw what was happening in those two vehicles that pulled in, that he went to a prayer closet in his heart, cried out to God, and asked God to intervene and help him. So that would be an important thing for us to remember, that we need to keep short accounts with the Lord, and we need to keep our personal relationship with the Lord right. And all sin, by the way, all sin is basically against God. It also affects others adversely, but we need to remember that when we sin, it's something we need to take care of first and foremost with the Lord. And if it involves other people, they are aware of it, or it's been against other people, then we need to go to those people and make that right. And it's, by the way, I'll tell you this too, that I think some of us, and I know this is true with me, I know there have been times when I have offended somebody and I didn't know it and it was totally unintentional. And eventually it kind of comes back to me and I think something's wrong. Should I ignore that? Should I just let it go? No. If I believe that I've offended somebody in any way, shape, or form, I ought to go to that person and make sure, find out. And that person, and if it's you, if I offend you, that person needs to have the honesty to say, yes, this is what happened, and this is how I took it, and we need to get things straightened out. Because sin against God or offending others breaks our fellowship. And the way you deal with that is not to ignore it and try to walk away from it, but to face it and deal with it. The letter C. Application of the blood is not automatic. We must confess our sins. I've given you some references there. And there'd be some discussion possibilities there. I know that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I know that the blood of Christ is capable of cleansing my sin at the moment of my salvation, and it gives me right standing with God. And the power of the blood to cleanse my sin is ongoing, and that ultimately all of the sin that Jerry Wass has ever committed or will ever commit will be taken care of by the blood of Christ. And yet we have this clear instruction from the Apostle John that we are to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My point in thinking of this is that, yes, ultimately the sin of Jerry Wass and your sin will all be taken care of by the blood of Christ. But if we do not deal with it ourselves as the Holy Spirit impresses upon us things that need to be taken care of, and we don't confess to God our sin so that the blood is applied immediately, we jeopardize our relationship with God. We jeopardize our relationship with others. We move on through life, and we do not move on through life with minimal regrets. We move on through life, and we have things that we will be sorry for because we did not take care of them in a timely manner. And so it's just so important that we deal with sin on a daily basis in order to maintain our fellowship with the Lord. Verse 9, I've just quoted, if we confess our sins. And I've given you some other verses there. Proverbs 28:13, I think most of us are very familiar with that, but let's just go back there right quick and read again what the writer of Proverbs gave us in chapter 28, verse 13. He writes, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." That would include fellowship, wouldn't it? It would include limiting our fellowship with God and limiting our fellowship with others. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I was on the phone with a young man who's pastoring a church in Canada this past week. And I've talked with him many times over the years, and he's called me about counseling situations that he's dealing with. And he was talking with me this time about a new family in his church who has a teenage son who has run away from home once already. He's only 14. And recently they had some more problems, and he shared with me how that the father became angry, grabbed the son, manhandled him, and so on and so forth. And it's in Canada. I'm not giving names, but we talked. I talked with this pastor a little bit, and I said, I think that if you can help that dad to realize that his anger has been counterproductive, and that dad can come to his son and say, "Son, I was wrong to lose my temper. And I sinned against you, and I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me?" I believe that will be a turning point in that boy's life. But that's so hard. And I'm using that illustration because I'm talking to a room of adults. And because we're older and because we've gone along through life and this and that and the other, it is difficult for us to see where we may have been wrong and to openly confess it. And one of the best things to restore the fellowship between that dad and his son would be for the dad to stop picking on what's wrong with his son and acknowledging what's wrong with himself and say, "Son, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Will you forgive me?" Can you imagine the feeling of that boy's heart when his dad humbles himself and does that? And I just think that's the first step in that relationship being restored so that fellowship can take place. After the man did that to his son, the boy went to his mother and said, "You need to divorce him." Tried to get his mom to divorce his dad. His dad has an anger problem. He needs to deal with it. And I just think James is so pointed when he says the wrath of man, and he doesn't say some of the wrath of man. He says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But at any rate, confessing our sins restores fellowship, and that fellowship is not automatically restored. And then the letter D. Fellowship involves friendship, and friendship requires obedience as far as our relationship to Christ is concerned. And I think this is one of the very strong basis of fellowship. John chapter 15, verse 14. Here Jesus is speaking, and he says pointedly, very short sentence, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so that's talking primarily about our fellowship with God. We cannot have fellowship with God if we're disobedient. And on an earthly level, it's hard for children to have fellowship with their parents when they, the children, are disobedient to their parents. But because we're human, we as parents often contribute to our children's disobedience. Children will use the mistakes of their parents as an excuse for their own mistakes and sins. That's why I say if a man has a temper problem, every time he disciplines in anger, the child will use his father's wrongness to be angry as an excuse for his wrongness for whatever his dad's trying to discipline him for. It's a real challenge. And then the letter E. Fellowship involves walking together and a certain level of agreement. Amos 3:3 asks a very simple question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And there are certain things that we don't have to agree on specifically. I mean, I don't have to, my favorite color doesn't have to be Elaine's favorite color or vice versa. There are many things that we can disagree about, but there are certain things that in order to really have fellowship and walk together with somebody, you have to have agreement on. And I put down four things. First of all, the place of meeting. Ultimately, primarily, the cross of Christ. The direction of travel. Heaven. A mutual goal. Christ-likeness. And number four, the place, the pace of travel. That would be set by the Holy Spirit. And there should be travel going on in our lives spiritually. We should be moving along through life and becoming more like Jesus today than we were yesterday, more like Jesus tomorrow than we are today. We should be growing in our Christ-likeness. And as we go through life, we should be thinking, what can I do today to be a blessing to others? That should be a frequent prayer of our hearts as we begin each day. Lord, let me be used today to encourage somebody else. Let me be a blessing to others. Open my eyes to opportunities, Lord, where I can be a help. And of course, the Holy Spirit, as He is in control of our lives, He will set the pace of our travel. But those are the basic things. Walking together. One, you have to decide where you're going from where you are, and then you have to decide the route you're going to take. If you use MapQuest, you know you can punch in MapQuest and it'll give you the directions to from where you are to where you want to go, and then you can punch a little, you can go to a spot and it'll give you an alternate route. But if you're going to go travel with somebody, you've got to travel the same route. And and then you have to have the same destination goal. So that's basically what we put there in the letter E. Number two, and this is real simple, and you've got references, so I'm not going to elaborate on that, but number two on the right side of the other side of your page there, with whom do we have fellowship? Our fellowship is with the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, and I've given you references, and then the letter B, with other Christians, our spiritual siblings. And again, we go back to 1 John. And I've given you some questions, and I need to stop because time is out. But we need to ask ourselves some questions as we go along through life. Do I love to be with other Christians? Do you? Do I? Ask yourself that question. And if so, do I just want to be with them at church and never with them in any other setting? Would I invite others to my home and so on? Would I accept the invitation to visit with somebody else in their home? And then the second question I put is, do I enjoy praying with other Christians? Do I enjoy singing with other Christians? Is my heart touched by the burdens and cares of other Christians? Do my conversations with other Christians go easily to the things of the Lord and His Word? Do I derive strength from being with other Christians? Is it my goal to encourage other Christians? Am I willing to sacrifice time and resources in order to have fellowship with other Christians? These are questions that I just put that I thought Jerry needed to ask himself. And I encourage you to ask yourself those questions. Now, next week, I think we're going to have a guest teacher in Sunday school. And so we're going to have Brother Mark Jones's dad with us next Sunday morning. And so we'll skip a week, but the week after next, we will continue our discussion on fellowship. We'll get into some more practical aspects of fellowship as we continue this study. You're dismissed. You've got about 7 or 8 minutes until church starts. Yes, sir.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said about Max Stewart.
He passed away. Yeah.
I saw him maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Saturday.
I thought everybody knew it. We mentioned it on Wednesday night. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, he passed away.